It's another beautiful weekend, and on that note, I say Akwaba, Ekabo, Jambo, and hello again, Bankless Africa.
And it being the end of another weekend, it means it's time for Sats and Gwe, where we bring you weekly updates and recaps of some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent and sometimes from across the globe. I, of course, am Miss Purple.
And I'm again, Neki.
Your favorite decentralized reporters from Africa.
Also, for the first time in many weeks, as of today, Bitcoin has slumped by nearly $3,000, currently sitting at $27,712, down from what it was about this time last week at $30,305.44. I think this is pretty much the biggest drop in its market value that we've seen in maybe the past month and a half, because it had been on the steady rise, I think all through the month of March and pretty much for some part of the month of April. But I'm still looking to it to rebound back to its $30,000 mark, hopefully. Ethereum currently sits at $1,873.75, down from its value as of this time last week at $2,089.88. Optimism currently sits at $2.28, slightly down from what it was last week at $2.66. The Matic token is still barely floating above the $1 mark, currently sitting at $1.03, down from what it was last week at $1.16. The Bank token appears to have slightly declined, currently sitting at $0.006004. Slightly down from what it was last week at $0.007078. So yeah, apparently we see declines in market values across board to varying degrees over the course of the past week. But yeah, this could be temporary. And again, this could, you know, maybe go downwards. We there's no way to predict how it goes. But best to keep your eyes out, make sure your assets are secure, and know when to unramp or off-ramp your money. Don't FOMO, and just be safe with your money.
All right. And with that, we are moving over to our national currency. We're going to start off first with the Ghanaian cedi, which is currently at 11.75 cedi to the dollar, down by 5.86% from last week's 11.10 cedi to the dollar. The Nigerian naira is at 460.53 naira to the dollar, up by 0.85% from last week's 464.50 naira to the dollar. The Lesotho Luti and South African rand are at 18.09 Maluti and rand to the dollar, down by 0.38% from last week's 18.02 Maluti and rand to the dollar. The Kenyan shilling is at 134.13 shillings to the dollar, down by 1.27% from last week's 132.45 shillings to the dollar. And last but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is at 597.96 franc to the dollar, down by 1.22% from last week's 590.75 franc to the dollar. And, you know, I like to say, we always say this, to say, don't try to time the bottom or the top. So when people were saying that, you know, maybe this is a bear, I was like, you need to hold up. Because for me, I'll only buy it if it's consistently moving upwards for at least 3 months in a row. If you can give me a full 3 months of just upward momentum, then I'll say, okay, you know what? Maybe it is feeling a bit bullish in here. But for now, just be cautious. Always be careful. Don't freak out because you've got like a 30% increase from, you know, 2 weeks ago, because you never know. These things are super volatile. You could literally lose everything. So always, always, always be on the alert as much as you possibly can. And with that, we're going to give you some of the headlines that we found to be particularly interesting. And this week, we've got two opposing headlines. The first one is that Zambia is set to complete their cryptocurrency regulation tests by June 2023. So to hear more on that, be sure to listen to last week's episode of Sats and Gwe.
And one which was particularly saddening, and of course, I think that applied to everyone who might have heard that news, was about LaserPay, a Nigerian cryptocurrency payment startup, which has closed down after having trouble raising money. I mean, they're still intending to sell some of their intellectual material to like help other companies who might be trying to get into the crypto payment space to innovate and all that. But LaserPay will no longer be in existence, and that still hurts a lot. Now, that brings us to the wrap-up of our headlines from the past week. Moving on to our headlines from this week, we're kicking up with Celo, where the Celo Africa DAO is now officially live.
The community-driven organization was created to establish a more equitable and regenerative financial system that benefits underbanked communities from around the world. The Celo Africa DAO has three main focus areas, which include attracting Web3 talent locally, providing community education and university outreach, and also participating in events as a sponsor. To attract local developers, the DAO plans to hold accelerator programs, hackathons, hands-on workshops, and dev talks. Successful projects will then receive funding from the Celo ecosystem. Additionally, the DAO will also host monthly community meetups, university outreach campaigns, and set up university clubs to onboard forward-looking campus students into the crypto scene. The ultimate goal of the DAO is to create more awareness on the capabilities of the Celo platform and the innovation from the broader ecosystem, with this potential to provide an inclusive and regenerative financial system. The DAO will host Twitter Spaces, local AMAs, and participate in events like ETH Safari, DevFest, and CryptoFest with a budget of $428,000 worth of Celo from the community fund. The DAO plans to start its activities specifically in 5 countries. I have to say, I really am looking forward to this. It's always a great thing to see projects and groups and communities coming together to educate people above all else, but also understanding that in as much as you want to market your particular product, or in this case, they of course want to market the Celo platform and the ecosystem, they also understand it goes beyond that. You need people to fully and truly understand what crypto is before they can start, you know, getting more directly involved and intentionally involved in an entire ecosystem. So kudos to the Celo Africa DAO. I wish them nothing but greatness. I do hope that they only have positive results from here on out going forward. On to our next headline, Web3 Ladies and Celo hosts a Women's Build Celo Hackathon.
Web3 Ladies, in partnership with the Celo organization, has announced the Women Build Celo Hackathon, a 4-day event focused on women in Africa. The hackathon encourages participants to develop Web3 project ideas such as GameFi, DeFi, SocialFi, and decentralized applications. The top 3 winning teams will receive, in this order, $1,500, $1,000, and $500 respectively. Collaboration between participants is encouraged, and participants will receive expert mentoring throughout the event. This is a great opportunity for women in Africa to gain practical experience working on real-world projects in Web3. The hackathon is being hosted by Celo Nigeria. Okay, this is looking pretty good. I mean, besides the fact that Celo is making the rounds by trying to be involved with Africa, you know, through that piece of news that Popo read before about the $428,000 worth of funding from the Celo community, it's particularly interesting that they're also doing something specific for the Web3 ladies. You know, I feel like most of tech, and indeed maybe Web3, is dominated by men, I think so. But the fact that they are actively trying to do something to include more women into this space is something to look out for. It's something I'm particularly happy to see. And I feel like the incentives are definitely going to, I'll use the word ginger, to ginger people to want to build. I mean, it's the prize money, the $1,500, the $1,000, and the $500. I feel like that should sort of incentivize the participants to put their best foot forward in building, you know, on any of the projects that they have highlighted in GameFi and DeFi and SocialFi. And I am super thankful that Celo Nigeria is doing this, that the Celo org in general is supporting this. And I'm looking forward to seeing even more and more women and in general people being onboarded to the Web3 space. I'm moving on to the next headline. Blockchain team Lua aims to collaborate with Nigerian government on crypto regulation.
Lua, which is a global DeFi ecosystem that offers services in crypto lending, yield farming, and investing in real-world assets, has recently partnered with the Nigerian government to co-develop new regulatory frameworks for cryptocurrency. The company is proposing to work together with the government on a national crypto regulation policy framework to encourage the responsible use of cryptocurrencies while also protecting consumers and preventing criminal activities. The Glua CEO, Tai O, believes that the collaboration with the Nigerian government will transform the financial landscape of Nigeria and of the African continent. In recent years, Glua has built an ecosystem of cryptocurrency applications, including the largest blockchain-based credit repository for trustless credit history verification. Its venture capital department, Glua Capital, has supported locally owned financial service providers and various and crypto exchanges in Africa with $35 million in funding allocated to various funding rounds. The Nigerian Ministry of Finance recognizes the potential of blockchain technology to drive economic growth and financial inclusion, and they are committed to creating a policy framework that encourages innovation and investment while protecting consumers and preventing criminal activities. Now, with all due respect, kudos to Glua for stepping forward. However, I don't think it would be a completely phenomenal, great idea to just have one crypto entity coming forth to help with this, because what could end up happening, not to say this is what Lua will do, but, you know, given what we've seen out of from history, and I would like to believe I'm a phenomenal history student, we should not allow a single entity to have so much influence. It should at the very least be, you know, a group, a collection of maybe five crypto companies that are perhaps have a lot of activity and influence among the community itself. This way you can ensure that all these people are hopefully putting the community first and putting the people first before they put their profit first and the potential for, you know, how much power they can then have from then on moving forward. And this is not just for Nigeria. This goes across the entire continent. Whatever country is going to work towards putting together their regulations, do yourself a favor and don't just listen to one CEO from one company or from one group of individuals. Seek out information and wisdom and, you know, consult with different entities and different groups. Hopefully also consult other groups from different countries as well. Don't just, you know, look to one individual to give you all those answers and perhaps all that insight, because you might be led astray. Again, not to say that Lua will be the ones to do so, but just for the sake of posterity and making sure that we are on the right side of history, at least this time around, let's be sure to get as much input as we possibly can. Moving on to our next headline, Roku gains regulatory approval to expand its operations in South Africa.
Roku, a Nigerian cryptocurrency exchange, has been granted regulatory approval to operate in South Africa, allowing users to purchase cryptocurrencies and withdraw funds with the country's fiat currency, the South African rand. The expansion into South Africa is part of Roku's growth plan that includes reaching 5 million clients in 2023 and expanding into other countries like Ghana, Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. Roku's strategy is focused on facilitating cross-border transactions through cryptocurrencies, primarily in African countries, with the goal of reducing the stress and wait times for diaspora remittances, which are vital for many families' critical needs such as food, shelter, and clothing. Roku claims to have over 1.4 million active customers, of which I am one, and has received a virtual currency license for the European Economic Area earlier this year, which allows it to operate in over 30 countries. The Middle East and North Africa are the fastest growing regions. The Middle East and North Africa are the fastest growing regions in the world for crypto adoption, transacting over $566 billion between July 2021 and June 2022. I mean, I personally use Roku, and I think their UI build is great. The design of the app, the feel, the speed of transactions, the everything. And I remember when they got that license sometime last year to operate in Europe, giving them access to over 30 countries. And I really thought that was phenomenal. I mean, for so long, they've been based only in Nigeria up till, well, sometime last year when they obtained that license. So seeing them go this far in such a little time, I think Roku is maybe only a few years old. I'm not sure they're up to 4 years or maybe three, but they seem to have been taking or making so many great strides in the crypto space. And I'm super happy for them. I'm rooting for them to expand into all the countries they're looking at, to Ghana, to Uganda, to Kenya, to Tanzania. And right now, an active user base of 1.4 million customers is pretty huge. And to anybody out there, I mean, I use Roku and I think it's great service. If you're trying to look for a great exchange service that allows you, you know, on-ramp, send, you know, do cross-border, then yeah, you should maybe try it out if you want to. Moving on to the next headline, CoinDesk indices partners with Luno to launch Luno Large Cap Bundle for South African crypto investors.
The partnership is intended for South African users to access crypto investment bundles. The bundle itself will track CoinDesk Indices' Large Cap Select Index and include 5 to 10 of the largest cryptocurrencies by value. It will be updated automatically by Luno and rebalanced every 3 months to align with the rebalancing of the indices by CoinDesk Indices. The bundle will not include meme coins, as it will follow CoinDesk's strict eligibility criteria. The partnership aims to help customers manage and maintain different investment strategies with confidence in altcoins that meet quality standards intended for investability. I think this is quite interesting. I just, you know, of course, I worry that for a lot of people, this will be a cop-out in that you're just going to say, you know what, I'm just going to just trust Luno and not do any of my own research. And whatever CoinDesk Indices claims to be the top five, I'm going to do that. And, you know, I just have to say, if you do purchase any of these bundles, make sure that you are aware of what you're getting yourself into. Try as much as you can to perhaps, you know, look into the portioning of that particular bundle. And to be fair, I know this is how I also, you know, started in crypto when I was still a bit scared. I would, you know, get into bundles because it was easier for me to do so. And I felt like, you know what, I have a small portion of everything. But with time, I started to find that because it readjusts as per, you know, it rebalances as per an indices or an index, it gets a bit tricky because then it becomes a question of, are you just in crypto just to get rich or to make money? Or are you truly here because you're looking for something that goes beyond just, you know, the magic internet money? So if you do purchase any of these bundles, do be sure to do so at your own risk, because once again, you could literally lose everything. On to our next headline. A report shows that 3% of blockchain developers are actually in Africa.
According to the 2022 Electric Capital Developer Report, there are over 23,300 monthly active Web3 developers, representing a 5.4% increase in the last year in Africa. Despite this growth, the report also reveals that Africa has only 3% of all blockchain developers globally, with the United States and Europe making up nearly 60% of developer talent worldwide. The report tracked over 9,000 ecosystems and over 163,000 repositories dedicated to crypto, with more than 124 million lines of code. The study also found that 72% of monthly active developers work outside of the Bitcoin and Ethereum ecosystems, and major ecosystems are merging beyond Bitcoin and Ethereum, such as Solana, the Near Protocol, and Polygon. In addition, there are over 3,901 developers who work in DeFi every month across multiple chains, with 50% of DeFi developers outside of Ethereum. Well, while 3% might seem like it's super little, which, well, it is. I still think that to the larger part of the African population, the concept of blockchain development and, you know, cryptocurrency as a whole is still, how will I say it, in its fledgling states. So most people who ever consider cryptocurrency only view it as a scheme to make money, you know, buy coins, hold, sell when it's high, and make a profit and move on. But I don't think a lot of people are very much inclined to or in the direction of actually building and, you know, trying to create infrastructure that makes the space better. So I feel like over time, we're definitely going to get there. And while 3% is little, I mean, you can always trust Africans to pick up pace over time. And this is a good sign that there's a lot of opportunity in the space. I mean, which means we have at least 97% of all blockchain developers based outside Africa. And there is still a demand. We still have many more protocols being built. We have a lot more emerging DeFi and all other forms of protocols in the Web3 space. And all of these require blockchain developers. So to anyone out there who might be interested in getting involved in Web3 or with the blockchain ecosystem in Africa, you're listening to this, this might be your cue to actually take it seriously, because I believe there are endless opportunities and I believe there is so much more you can do beyond just buying or trading crypto. If you actually want to make a real difference, maybe get into building and innovating in the Web3 space. Moving on to the next headline. The gold mafia of Southern Africa uses gold as a store of criminal activities.
The four-part investigation by Al Jazeera's investigative unit, aptly called the Gold Mafia, has revealed a series of gold smuggling gangs in Southern Africa that help criminals launder hundreds of millions of dollars, allowing the criminals to get rich while their country's economies are plundered. The docuseries investigates why and how gold is used to turn dirty cash seemingly clean for those that have copious amounts of unaccounted wealth through the use of companies, counterfeit identities, and fake documents. Multiple high-ranking officials from across Southern Africa have been exposed in this docuseries, particularly Zimbabwe, which has been crippled by sanctions, or rather has been crippled with sanctions by the West world for a long time. Other high-ranking members of the gold mafia are in South Africa and London, while Dubai serves as the hub of activity. Thus far, the docuseries has four published episodes, and from them, Al Jazeera concludes six things. The first is that the very nature of gold trade makes it very difficult to guarantee its origin. In other words, there is likely no such thing as clean gold. Dare I say there is no such thing as clean minerals, period. But someday we will look into what exactly is going on with the cobalt crisis, hopefully. The second point is that gold will continue to be ideal for launderers because it can be cloaked behind the guise of, say, melting and refining with no traceability. Thirdly, the gold mafia is bigger and more powerful in this case than the governments of Zimbabwe and South Africa. Fourth, always have the king with you. That is, it seems Zimbabwe's president is aware and connected to the mafia in multiple ways. Fifth, Dubai is the El Dorado of gold smugglers. And lastly, none of this would be possible without the involvement of the banking systems of Zimbabwe and South Africa. Now, my personal conclusion? I think this is clear evidence of the importance of traceability and providence. This is why blockchain is so important. The fact that none of this would be possible without the involvement of the banking systems is a red flag. Because that is to say, truly, a lot of people do have a price. You give them the right amount of money, they will do whatever you need them to do. And after watching a few episodes, I haven't watched the full series, but after watching at least two episodes of the series, it's not even a lot of money that some of these people are being bribed with, but pure desperation has led people to doing things such as this. But once again, they use, you know, fake companies, counterfeit identities, fake documents, and once again, cue blockchain technology. With, you know, the traceability and the providence of blockchain technology, I think this would not be as big a problem, you know, and I know a lot of people will joke that Bitcoin is the crypto equivalent of what gold is, but the upside is that with Bitcoin, you can at the very least trace it. And even though it might not be as realistic in action as it is with gold, I do think that, you know, moving more towards cryptocurrency for bigger sums of money will inadvertently, perhaps hopefully, reduce the amount of scams that are able to continue occurring in Southern Africa, such that entire economies are crippled. And it's very clear that there's some people in positions of power who will continue to perpetuate it as long as it continues to line their pockets. So that is my short conclusion on this. I do hope we take everything that we have shared today at heart. And just in closing, I would also like to just add onto the headline that Nikki was talking about just earlier about the 3% of blockchain developers, blockchain developers being in Africa. It's a very small number, you know, it is a very small number. But I also think there is ample space for growth, because with having the number so low, it means we're not going to get a lot of the results or the apps or the developments that come out of the space being geared towards Africans. So keep those hackathons coming, keep those events coming. I really, really am looking forward to seeing a lot more, you know, creations and innovations coming outside of the continent, or rather coming from the continent, because I think that could lead to a lot more growth. I think that is the perfect way to end this week's episode of Sats and Gwei. Just a reminder, of course, that a lot of what we've shared is, or rather none of what we've shared is financial advice, only the opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. And also the opinions that we do share, we try to, as much as possible, to let you know when it is our personal opinions and also when it is an actual article. You can always use the links in the show notes to do your own research and make sure you fully understand what it is you're getting involved in. And if you haven't already, please, please, please be sure to subscribe and leave a rating on whatever platform you're listening from. And if you have the time, also leave a review to let us know how we can continue to improve and to give you the Sats and Gwei updates that you were looking for and you want to continue to listen to. So until next time, remember to be relentless in your mission to be bankless.